Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room, which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted on this show.
Good morning, Sherry Veronica. Today is September 1st, 2016. And we wanted to talk to you today about maybe five of the latest blogs that appear on nakeddeparture.com, and then we want to get into the WikiLeaks of Barbados, which is nakeddeparture.com. I am also part of nakeddeparture.com, and people seem to think that I am going to be soon taking a bullet to the head or wherever, but like I know, and I think everyone in life should know, death is a certainty. And if you die for something, if I die for something, I've lived well. I want to welcome Victor into the studio.
Hey, Sherry. Good morning. Hi. I'm here perusing some newspapers and having a cup of coffee. I'm glad to be with you this morning, and let's get to it.
Okay. There seem to
be...
Yeah, there seemed to have been a power outage in Barbados today, and someone, as soon as the light, the power came back on, they were on their computer, and they wrote to us saying that it's getting worse. Barbados sold all the shares of the Barbados Light and Power to a Canadian company, Emira, and they said that since that time, it has gotten worse, because before there would be a power outage once or twice a year. Now this is the fourth for the year, and it's almost 4 hours that there's no power. So we could only imagine what would happen to the restaurants and the cold storage areas. What happens to that food? Bajans are not known for throwing bad food out, so you just need to be careful. And what about the hospital? We can only imagine that there's backup systems at the hospital and other healthcare facilities. So that was something in the news. A deadline came up for Bushy Park, and they're wondering if a fence and a ticket booth is going to be torn down, because that's what was mandated by the court. We have in the news Barbados banks were hit by fraudsters. And people wrote in and said that much of their money has been taken out of many of the banks. And unless they really keep a whole lot of noise and talk about attorneys and talk about suing, nothing gets done. As everyone know or should know, I was defrauded of a $5,000 check by Mark B. A. Thompson. And he cashed that check at Scotiabank. I have no account, have never had a bank account. There is no signature on that bank that would show my signature, but he was able to have a bank manager do whatever they do, whatever cut he got, whatever cut. I don't know what happened, but I was out $5,000. It was reported to the bank up until this day. Nothing has happened. They have said, we will investigate. Nothing has happened. So when you get your money back, you're actually lucky, because they don't care about you. What else is in the news? And there's a guy, his name is Jerry Nurse, and he has had a whole lot of problems with real estate in Barbados. And just as the matter was settled in the High Court, in the, I guess they call it the Supreme Court in Barbados, whatever it is, the High Court in Barbados, the people that were living in the house was trying to sell the house before he could actually take possession. So land fraud, real estate fraud is something that people, especially if you don't live on the island, you need to keep an eye on that. Yesterday, Victor, I spoke a little about madness, people considering people mad or bipolar. And my take on it is, if you are in a situation that is not normal, it is normal to behave abnormal in an abnormal situation. And I found reading history books that slavery was abnormal. And even what is happening in Barbados with the 90% of black people living there are a minority, because the 5% or the 10% are running things, that is abnormal. So for them to behave normal, that's not normal. So when someone reacts, even in emotional situations that are quite abnormal in Barbados because it's pretty vicious, when someone reacts to that, they have that stigma of being at Black Rock or being bipolar or whatever, when it should not be a stigma at all, because you should expect someone to have a reaction to bad things happening to them. And my question was, if someone reacting to a bad thing makes them bipolar or makes them mad, like being raped in school or being bullied in school by a teacher or whatever, if that makes you mad, what do you call the teacher? And if slavery made our ancestors mad or made them go out of their minds, what do you call the enslavers? What do you call the colonial masters? Why would you bow down to people who created a situation that sent people who are otherwise peaceful or otherwise whatever they were before, it put them, it offset them. You become offset because the situation is not good for you. It's not good for your family. It's not good for anybody other than the person who's perpetrating this crime on you. So my point on that was, how dare you call someone who acts normal within a situation mad, and the person who is creating a genocide or who is creating an invasion, like invading someone's company, invading someone's country, you come to someone's house and turn them out, you come to someone's house and keep their young children and rape them and kill the male and rape the females. Why would you call the invaders, the colonial masters, good, and the people who were affected, bad?
Because we are the most comfortable slaves on the planet. Our behavior is so well learned, so well mimicked. The greatest historians through time have been people who have been enslaved. We've kept the remnants of the slave masters rip close to us by the things that we do. And that is precisely the reason why we have not been able to grow out of the misery of slavery. Just look at how we live. Look at how we're able to juxtapose the madness, the insanity of slavery through our own existence. If you're able to understand that, if you're able to grab a hold of that and explain it with the great literary genius that Dr. Hilary Beckles was able to explain it to David Cameron when he was the Prime Minister of England, the passage of time, of time through slavery, allowed for Cameron's ancestors to have enriched themselves off of the backs of people living in the Caribbean. Dr. Beckles did a majestic job in explaining that to the masses. Well, I'm sure that kind of literary genius, that kind of historical genius that he possesses, would allow him, would facilitate for him to understand the dilemma that faces Barbadians across the board as we go about our everyday responsibilities and try to live in a world that's very dissimilar from us completely. I mean, look at ownership and understand ownership relative to our own personage. Look, I mean, they say that slavery is when someone has lost mastery of themselves and lives in or through the powers of another. That's what the definition is supposed to mean. How can we call ourselves free when everything around us tells us that we are not? From simple ownership, the land we were born on, certain communal things, our government, everything around us suggests that we are living under the power of others. The electric company, once one time a staple of Barbados, now is owned by who? A foreign power. So we have been divested of every single aspect of our humanity. Therefore, we are forced to live in or through the power of another. And at the end of the day, the people are walking around throwing their hands in the air and saying to themselves, what is it that I have left? What do I own? They have dispossessed me of my home, of my children, of my way of thinking, of my heritage. And people want to speak about people being bipolar. Who wouldn't be bipolar living in a situation that is calamitous? You tell me, who wouldn't be? Constantly every day, we have every single signal that suggests that as a society, we need to grapple with the psychology, the way that things are placed before us, to be able to ascend ourselves to a position where we allow betterment of self. That's the simplest form of individual humanity. Yet, constantly, Barbadians are deprived of the abilities. People build the sea, the sand, the beaches used to be relatively free. Those have been encroached on, and the super wealthy, some of whom do not even live on the island of Barbados, have erected their casbahs, and as a result of that, again, encroachment on the humanity, the freedom of the masses. The problem is those people given political tenure in Barbados, the people given the power to govern Barbados only from the lenses of their own purse strings. They govern only with their purse strings, not with the sentiments of the people. And as a result, those people that sit in positions of power enrich themselves while depleting the coffers of the masses. Again, it does not matter if the white plantocracy, the white plantation owner, sits in a position of authority. He could very well, or she could very well, sit in absentia. The business of doing business in Barbados is business, and the people primed to benefit from the business of Barbados happens not to be Barbadians, but happens to be those people that sit in the House of Assembly, those people who are able to corrupt the system and make the system bend and jellyflect at their will and pleasure. And those people who, of course, are criminals, you understand. So you're getting it from every angle, no matter what. You're getting it from every angle, and the people have decided, well, you know, we'll just take one political party out, put the next political party in, then wait for another political cycle and do it all over again. It is madness. It is madness in all of its forms. It is not normal for people to be treated to the level of disdain and mistreatment that the people of Barbados have had to suffer over the last 50 years since independence. We are dependently independent, and that does not make sense, Sherry. So I will let you get a word in.
Yeah, I was hoping you would go for longer. So one day in history, when I'll be gone and you'll be gone, and there are books written and it is stated that there were people in Barbados who just relaxed on the block. We call them block boys now. We call them the unemployed, the unemployable. They just have no desire to work, or maybe they have no skills. But one day, I can see this already in my mind's eye. In history, they are going to have these particular boys in history books saying, there was a time in the past where some people did not work. They decided that they were still in some form of slavery. They saw it, and they did not work. And everything seems to have some kind of music to it. Anything in history, given time, can look good, but when it's happening, it doesn't look so good. It doesn't feel so good. So one day in history, you know, they'll be reading about these block boys, and it's going to be written that they should be heralded because they saw something and it was a protest. It's not a protest now that it's happening. They're insulted. They are going and doing things with their back end to make ends meet. You know, a lot of homosexuality, a lot of bisexuality, a lot of, they may not even call themselves such. They're just trying to survive. But history has a way of sanitizing everything and making things look good. And I wonder, if in the time of history, when we are no longer here, what would they say about the new WikiLeaks, that is a new term for naked departure? What would they say about us? What would they say about the radio show? We don't know. One day it may be pulled. One day it may not be no longer available. But sometimes when something is not available, people remember it more. When it's there, people don't notice it. Like, for instance, when I lived in Barbados, the beach was just there. It wasn't anything too big. It was a big deal. But then when you come to the United States and you live in certain cities that do not have an ocean, then you take a vacation every year, and the first thing you do is you say you want to go to the ocean. Before, when you were there, coconuts grew and dropped and everything. It wasn't a big deal. And then you go back, you say, the first thing I want is some coconut water. So it's a big deal after a while. And I wonder, what would they say about naked departure? What would they say about you, me? What would they say about people who've been on the show, people who wanted to stand for something, people who spoke on behalf of something, because we have noticed it. And I don't know, what do you think about the threats that are coming in to Naked Departure? And they're saying that Peter Harris has a bounty on our heads.
Well, people don't threaten what they think is speaking to establish some level of normalcy about them. That they don't feel threatened by something that they think does not tell the truth about them as a whole. And I don't know this man, Peter Harris. I don't know him. So I don't know about his level of being able to carry out the threat or not. But I would say this in defense to Naked Departure, that if you would have threatened his life, that there would be those people out there writing to the search engines asking that your name be, your show be, your blog be pulled down, because that seems to be the thing today that everybody wants. They want to blame Naked Departure for the ills of a country that has been sick long before Naked Departure even came on the scene. So I'm not going to say that this man, this Peter Harris, whoever he is, I wouldn't even give him the credit of suggesting that he's going to take somebody's life, because at the end of the day, that's a pretty serious thing to say, that you're going to somehow end the life of somebody who is only trying to do what's, in their opinion, in their own mind, what's right. They just want to speak truth to power. And we have all these news agencies in Barbados and elsewhere, wherever Barbadians live. We have all these other people out there that they just want truth in all of its variations. And you're not responsible for my opinions as I write them to you and blog with you. And basically, for the most part, I use my own name, because what do I have to hide? What do I have to fear? At the end of the day, what the hell do I have to fear? So if Mr. Harris does not like democracy, as democracy is placed on the pages, on the blog worthiness of Naked Departure, then bring the proof that the things that are claimed against you, Mr. Harris, are indecent and criminal and violate your right to be able to exist as a person on this earth. Until you can do that, then shut the hell up and offer an olive branch to the people of Barbados rather than to try to destroy. Barbados is for Barbadians. It's for Barbadians. It is not a situation that should be usurped by the likes of the Attorney General, the Director of Public Prosecutions, rogue ministers, clerics, school teachers, business people who subvert the will of the people of Barbados and gain profit. When Barbados can show me that a black man in Barbados can be given the same opportunity that a Busy Williams or a Cow Williams has received in Barbados, then I can say that the country is making full strides towards not only being in the upper tier of third world country, but that the people of Barbados the people of Barbados, the black-skinned people of Barbados, the melanated people of Barbados, are making upward progress towards equality in Barbados. Equality does not mean that the 95% of black people in Barbados walking around with some moniker of so-called freedom, that they're free. Freedom isn't free. Who the hell said freedom was free? It does not. It is not. It does not represent that people are free. Freedom is not free. It is fought for and achieved on the backs of many. It's not free. And what we have going on down there, people were laughing at Alex Mitchell. They didn't think he was serious about land fraud. Look what's happened. Look what happened with that house. And there are many instances where crooked lawyers, crooked politicians, crooked bankers, crooked real estate agents have turned their eyes the other way while the simple folk in Barbados, the people of Barbados, have been cheated out of inheritances that they should have had, that should have been theirs. These are all situations that need to be spoken about. The mainstream media in Barbados is bought and paid for by crooked politicians, and therein lies the problem. The Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions is not a business entity. It's not an entity owned by Peter Harris and his affiliates. It's not an entity that should be owned by anybody. But it is owned. There are several different instances of proof that the Director of Public Prosecutions and the Attorney General of Barbados are culpable in not holding down the mantle of their responsibilities to the people of Barbados and therein doing the right things to secure honesty and integrity in their offices. Why is that? Why do the people feel dirty? Why do the people feel crooked? If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, don't tell me that it's a pigeon. You can't possibly tell me that it's a pigeon there, Sherry Veronica. It is what it is. And the people should be able to lay their heads down in the land that they were born in every single night, knowing that at some point in time in this country's history, some semblance of respect and dignity is returned to public office. Public office as it stands now in Barbados, the approval rating of politicians in Barbados, starting with Frondell Stewart all the way down, is abysmal. Abysmal. And at some point in time, somebody needs to be held accountable through the ballot box or through the docket. But people need to be held accountable for the miscreant, thieving, corrupt way that Barbados has become. You build a hotel on prime, or attempting to build a hotel on prime real estate in Barbados, a place where people sold. I've been to that place as a child, as a young adult. And you're going to take that land without the blessings of the people of Barbados, and you're going to erect a hotel there, and what will happen to the people of Barbados? Again, encroached on. Encroached on. And there is not a single voice in Barbados that's raising any kind of concern across the board for what's transpiring up there on that prime piece of real estate. Where does the madness start? And they want to speak about madness, insanity? Insanity is what's going on right now. What's going on right now in Barbados? You were elected by the people of Barbados to serve them. You are the servants of the people. Yet, you insult the people and the will of the people every single day by the things that you do. How dare you call yourself a government? How dare you disrespect the masses from whose hands you eat? You should fall on your knees in disgrace at how the masses perceive you in Barbados. If I were living in Barbados, I would have a loudspeaker every day and be protesting the insanity of government in Barbados, the hypocrisy of government, the failure of this DLP administration led by Frondell Stewart, and the insanity of what's happening with these white European, Canadian, and North American types coming to Barbados and enforcing their will upon the people of Barbados. That is a democratic scourge, a disgrace. I let you talk, Sherry.
I want to thank you so very much, Victor, for joining us today. We have 11 seconds left. I think that is it. If they want to come and kill me, I'm in New York City as we speak. I'll be here until the marathon, and then I'll be back home. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/nakeddeparture and follow the link. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade Winds by Alan Trotman and Jonathan Butler.